region, but otherwise the main focus of the Alanisim is, of course, on the Nes of the Milcham. However, we know that when it comes to the observance of Chanukah in general, outside the context of Tefillah, of course, one of the central motifs, one of the primary rituals, the icon of Chanukah, is of course the menorah that commemorates the Nes of the Pach Shemen, the notion that after one day of the amount of oil that they put in, of course, we had the miracle that lasted for 8. And that's the Gemara in Shabbos. When the Gemara in Shabbos lays out my Chanukah, how do we define the character, the nature, the experience, what this Chag is all about? The Gemara does not pivot to the miracle of the war. The Gemara does not discuss the Rabin Biyad Me'atim, the Tmeim Biyad Ta'orim, but rather the Gemara indulges in the Nes of the Pach Shemen. And that's the Gemara, very famous Gemara in Shabbos. On Chav Aleph from Beis says the Gemara that my Chanukah, what happens in the Chag of Chanukah, and as of course we know, and Kishagam Ramachus Beis Chashmonai, when they win the war, they only find one Pach Shel Shemen of the Kohen Gadol. The Maharal writes, by the way, on this Gemara, that the notion that they were able to locate and identify one Pach Shemen personifies the notion that no matter how much Klal Yisrael is assimilated into the culture and the influence of the world of Yavan, they can't ever completely subsume the identity of the Jewish people. And that's true on a macro level in terms of Am Yisrael in general. You can't ever completely overtake Klal Yisrael and its identity as an Am Hashem, and it's true on the individual level, that an individual person can never be completely subsumed into the assimilation of Yavan. Okay, so that's the Gemara. The question we're going to deal with tonight is this notion that the menorah, that the Nes of the Pach Shemen, the Nes of the menorah becomes the central idea of the Chag of Chanukah. That this is the primary mitzvah sayon, this is what we're chayiv to do every single night, this is what we're focused on, asher kibshanu b'mitzvosov itzivanu, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, she'asanisim la'avoseinu, this is what the Shechayanu's on, even though some of the poskim write that when we make that Shechayanu, we should have in mind other dimensions of the Chag, but the primary mitzvah sayon, the primary maisa ha-mitzvah of the Chag of Chanukah, as we know, is the Hadlokas HaMenorah. And that emanates from the notion that the Nes surrounded this dimension of the Avodah in the Mikdash. Now the entire Mikdash was consumed with the Tumah of Yah. The entire Mikdash came under the influence of the world of Greek culture, of the world of Greek culture both from without and from within, but it is Davka Hadlokas HaMenorah. It is specifically in the realm of Chanukas HaMenorah. It is specifically in igniting the menorah that the miracle of Chanukah comes alive. And the question we're going to discuss tonight is, why is that so? What is the nature of this mitzvah in the Mikdash of lighting the menorah? And why does it become so central to how Chazal want to personify this victory of the Chashmonaim, this pivotal event in Jewish history, this final Chag of Jewish history that is established? What is so central, so key about the entire notion of Hadlokas HaMenorah that it plays such a central role? And we begin the discussion with a very shocking Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, told it's Daf Yomi, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the following statement. The Gemara says, Hadlokah Lav Avodahi. The Gemara is in the midst of a discussion with regards to which components of the Avodah in the Mikdash necessitate a Kohen, and therefore which components of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash have the classification of Avodah in a formal sense, in that they must be effectuated by a Kohen specifically. And of the elements of the Avodah, and there are others, of the elements of the Avodah that is not classified as a formal Avodah, we encounter Hadlokas HaMenorah itself. It's a shocking statement. Why? Because if Hadlokas HaMenorah is not even a formal component of the Avodah, then how did it become so central to what represents the entire rededication of the Mikdash itself? So that's one shocking dimension of this Gemara in the context of just where we sit right now in the calendar and the framework of Chanukah. We make such a big deal. Everybody has a menorah. We're putting menorahs all over our homes, all over our shuls, all over our Bate Medrash. And obviously because we are trying to reenact, we are trying to recreate a dimension of the Mikdash experience that is central, that is core to what it means to have a Mikdash. And yet, that component of the Mikdash does not even enjoy the status of a formal Avodah. So That's question number one. How can Chanukah celebrate something so central that's not really integral to the entire framework of the Mikdash? The second question on this Gemara itself begins to appear in the Rishonim. The Rishonim want to know, how could the Gemara make this assertion that the menorah is not considered an avodah when we see, look at the Tosis Yishanim in source number 4, which is on the daf. About Tema la Rav Yosef came in the Hadlaka la Avodahi. We have a bomb question on Rav Yosef who says that the Hadlaka is not considered part of the Avodah. Amaik Siv Kokoni. The Torah itself explicitly states that Hadlaka Samenorah in the Mikdash necessitates a going. We're all familiar. Daber el Aron v'el Banav beha'aloscha esaneros. The beginning of Parashas Ba'aloscha. The Torah goes out of its way to exemplify Hadlaka Saneros as a primary example of something that was entrusted specifically to Aaron Ubon. So how is it possible that the Gemara can classify Halakas HaMenorah as not being an Avodah when it specifically and explicitly in the Torah is given over to the Kohanim in order to be the ones to do it, right? So that's the Tosfos Yishanim's question. So the Ritva asks this question as well. The Ritva's solution to this problem is somewhat technical. The Ritva says the following. Look at source number 5. Says the Ritva. To me, a milsadok, siba aron ubonov, daber al aron, the ubonov limer, baaloschas aneros, uksib baalos arones aneros, the psukim in tetzavah, the psukim in baaloscha. So Ritva wants to know, what do you mean adlok alav avodahi? What do you mean adlokas aneros is not an avodah? The Torah says it needs to be done by a kohen. So says the Ritva, v'yesh lomar, perhaps we could suggest, tilahachi lo abkei beloshim chi. That if you look at the formulation of the Torah, it's somewhat literary. It's not obligatory. The Torah does not say that sabel aron akol. The Torah does not use a lush. The Torah does not use a formulation of chiv. The Torah uses a formulation of this is the reality. Beha aluscha es aneros. When you go ahead and light the menorah, depicting what in essence is a reality, but not a mandate. So says the Ritva, that compromising language reflects the identity of the Hadlakas HaMenorah itself. In that, says the Ritva, Lomar Dilav Abodihi L'chayiv Oleh Amiso Bizah. So the Torah does not intend to project the notion that a Kohen doesn't like the menorah. Of course the Kohen likes the menorah. Bahalos Chosaneros, that's the reality. Kohanim like the menorah. There is a detail as a part of the dinim of what is considered avoda le'inyin chiyuv miso bizar. So says the Ritva, that far we don't go. And therefore what the Gemara is basically telling you is the Gemara is narrowing. The Gemara is not expanding. It's telling you, look, the halos chasaneros projects the notion that they must light the menorah. But if a zar goes ahead and lights the menorah, there's no chiyuv miso. Meaning, it is entrusted to the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the ones that have to do it, but it's not exclusive to the Kohanim. It's not that the Hadlakas HaMenorah is germane to the Kohen experience in the Mikdash. This approach, obviously, is somewhat counter to what we're all familiar with. If we look at source number 6, where we know the Torah tells us, at the outset of Parshas Baaloscha, Rashi asks a very famous question. And the question is, Lama Nisbecha Parshas HaMenorah LaParshas HaNesiim? Right? We know that the Parshas Naso concludes with the Kriyas HaTorah that we're reading in these days, right? Of all the different Nesiim, of all the Karbonos of the Nesiim, and everything they contributed. And at the conclusion of that, the Torah immediately presents, by the way, Bahalos Chosaneiro. So Rashi asks on this Michas HaParshas, what's going on? So says Rashi, a very famous statement from the Medrash, that Cholsha Azdato Shel Aaron, that Aaron, when he saw all of the Shvatim engaged in a particular role in the Chanukas HaMishkan with regards to their Karbonos for the Nesiim, so he became very upset because he saw that his Shevet was omitted. He saw Lohu v'lo Shittu, Lohu imayim b'Chanukah, he had no role in the Chanukas HaMishkan, not him and not his Shevet. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Chayecha, by your life, Shalcha Gidola Mishelohem. Your role in the Chanukas HaMishkan, or your role in the Mishkan itself, your role in the Mikdash, is greater than theirs. It transcends theirs. It eclipses theirs. Don't be frustrated that you see their prominence in the Chanukas HaMishkan and bringing all of these karbanos. After all, your role in the Mishkan is going to be much more profound. Why? She'ato madliku meitiv esaneros. Because you're going to be the one to ultimately light the menorah. So when you look at this Rashi, when you look at this Medrash, and you take a step back and you ask yourself, what is Rashi projecting here relative to the Kohen's experience in lighting the menorah? It would seem a sense of exclusivity. It would seem that according to Rashi, no, it's not enough to just say that the Kohen has some sort of peripheral relationship with Hadlakas HaNeiros. Or that the Kohen has a role, but really the Tzar does it. It's in Achayav Misa, it's not an Avoda. You read Rashi, and it definitely sounds like it's exclusive to a Kohen. It is unique to a Kohen. It's yours and it's not theirs. Theirs is the Chanukah Sanesim. Yours is the Menorah Samishka. So it seems very obvious that according to Rashi, that the Avoda of the Menorah is exclusive to the Kohan. The Avoda of the Menorah is exclusive to the Kohanim. Again, that gives us a tension, that provides a tension with the Gemara in Yuma, that seems to say that the Menorah is not an Avoda. How is this possible? How could the menorah on one hand not be part of the avodah in the mikdash, and on the other hand be the personification of Aaron's role in its exclusive relationship to the Chanukah Samishkan? And it gets even more complicated when you look at the Rambam. Because the Rambam, not only does the Rambam believe that a Tzar can go ahead and light the menorah, but the Rambam provides for you the procedural dimensions. Because what's the problem with a Tzar lighting the menorah? What could go wrong? What's the problem with a Tzar? How could a Tzar light the menorah? Where is the menorah in the Mikdash? It's in the Heichal, right? What happens if a Tzar walks into the Heichal? It's Chayav Misa, right? B.S. Rekonis, you're not allowed to walk into the Heichal. Maybe he had another reason to be in the Heichal, but you're not allowed to be in the Heichal. So how did a Tzar light the menorah to begin with? So says the Rambam, וכן הדלקת הנרות כשרה בזרים, לפיכך אם היטיב הכהן את הנרות, if the Kohen prepares the nerot, והוציאון לחוץ, and takes them out of the heichal into the azara, מותר לזר להדליק. Then a zar can light the menorah, and what could the Kohen do? Bring them back, bring the menorah back into the mikdash itself. So according to the Rambam, and the Rambam, by the way, argues on the Rambam. He says, what are you talking about? The Ketzav Mishnah writes that the Rambam's paskening this Gemara and Yuma, that the menorah is not an avoda, and therefore it could be lit by a Tzar. All you have is a logistical problem, because how does the Tzar get to the menorah? We can solve that problem. We bring the menorah to the Tzar. You bring the menorah to the Tzar, he lights the menorah, he brings it back, the Kohen brings it back into the Heichal. Poof, we have a menorah. So you see that according to the Rambam, there's no question that this is not exclusive to the Kohen. So again, we're back to our original problem here, which is how could a dimension of the Mikdash that does not seem to be exclusive and unique to the Kohen, that doesn't seem to be even classified as an Avodah, become the symbol of the whole Chanukah Beis HaMikdash for the Chag of Chanukah altogether? What are we doing? Pick some other dimension of the Mikdash that was Metaher later on, and make that the icon of the Nes of Chanukah. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why does this holiday play out in such a way that an aspect of the Mikdash that's not even necessary in terms of it being classified as an Avodah becomes the central motif of the Chag? So getting back to this Rambam, this question of what does the Rambam mean when he says that a Tzar can go ahead and light the menorah? So the Minchas Chinuch writes the following in source number 8. Vizeh kama shonim ikashisi al din zeh shal Rambam. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I've had this kash on the Rambam for a long time. Dimot siyan l'chutz mutu l'zar l'hadlik, this shita of the Rambam, that you could take the menorah and you could bring it outside the mikdash and light it outside of the heichal. So says the Minchas Chinuch, habi menorah vaday hadloka osa mitzvah below Hanach. So the Minchas Chinuch is alluding to the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara begins to deal with a very fundamental question in the nature of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. And that is, do we say that Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, that one accomplishes the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah by igniting the light, or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah? Or no, igniting the light is just part of the process, but the Iker process, the Iker of what is the Kiyum of Neros Chanukah, is placing it in the proper place. And the Gemara has all sorts of nafkaminas, And the Rishonim have nafkaminas as well. The famous Rosh, do you need enough fuel in there to last the whole time? What if a Cherishot did the cotton lights the menorah? So if Hadlaka owes the mitzvah, if you need to light that menorah, so it has to be someone of Bar Das that lights the menorah. If Anacha owes the mitzvah, if all you need to do is ensure that the menorah is lit, then it's enough for anybody to light the menorah. So we paskin Hadlaka owes the mitzvah. We paskin that you have to, there is a chiyuv to go ahead and ignite the menorah itself. So says the Minchas Chinuch, he's shocked at this Rambam. Because when you look at the Rambam, what's the Rambam suggesting? The Rambam suggesting that you take the menorah outside of the Heichal, outside into the Azorah, you let someone else light the menorah, you bring the menorah back into the Heichal, and what is that essentially? That is the paradigm of Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. That's the Gemara's example, where you light it somewhere where it's possible. You're not allowed to light it outside. You're not allowed to do hadlokas menorah outside of the heichal. That's not where the menorah belongs. You light it somewhere where it's possible, and then you move it to somewhere where it's kosher. That is the definition of hanacha osa mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch says, how could the Rambam suggest this? How could the Rambam paskin that in the mikdash hanacha osa mitzvah? We paskin hadlokha osa mitzvah. Di lav hachi lo hoysa docha Shabbos. And the Minchas Chinuch raises a very Minchas Chinuch dik question, which is that if in fact that was the case, that hanacha osa mitzvah, why would we require a special limud to matir us to light the menorah on Shabbos, right? Which the Gemara adds. After all, uvi Shabbos, what could you do? Eshar lasos kodem haShabbos la'adlika, uvi Shabbos yakidiya v'yanichena. All you have to do is on Erev Shabbos, you move the menorah outside of the mikdash, you light the menorah there, and then when it comes time for Shabbos, Shabbos comes, and then hanacha osa mitzvah. You move it back to where it has to be. You never have to light a fire on Shabbos. So mevur lahegya berashi hadlaka osa mitzvah kide ashchon b'menorah. And in fact, says the Minchas Chinuch, if you look at the Gemara as it sets up the chakira of hanacha osa mitzvah or hadlaka osa mitzvah, Rashi says right there on the daf that hadlaka osa mitzvah. What's the source of, for such a notion? Says Rashi kide ashchon b'menorah. The source is the mikdash. They have to light the menorah. So how could the Rambam be suggesting that you don't have to light the menorah, which is essentially the Rambam's suggestion? You could light the menorah somewhere else. All you have to do is put it down. You wouldn't need a limud for Shabbos. We don't paskin hanacha osa mitzvah. Rashi himself says, definitional to the notion of hadlaka osa mitzvah, that one is required, that menorah is the source. Vishom besugi mevor di hadlaka osa mitzvah hadlaka b'mekolam v'inon. And of course, the Gemara says over there in Shabbos that if you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, it has to be done in its proper space. This is the classic, the Rambam's case in the Mikdash is the classic case that the Gemara concludes does not work on Hilchos Chanukah. That is, you light it somewhere where it's not supposed to be, and then you move it to somewhere where it is supposed to be. Im ken came the b'makom ha-menorah b'heichal b'vale tzarech la'hadlik b'mekom ha'ayna b'heichal b'shalom b'mekom ha'lo'asa klum. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch writes, and he leaves this basically as a tzarechi and in the Rambam. He says, I don't understand this Rambam. The Rambam seems to assume that in the Mikdash, hanocha osa mitzvah. That seems to be the working assumption of the Rambam. So again, we have this Gemara and Yuma that says the menorah is not even an avodah. It's a shocking Gemara considering the fact that the Torah seems to explicitly state Kohanim are supposed to be involved with this. The Rambam steps up and says, no, Kohanim don't have to be involved in this. They have to be preliminarily involved with this because they have to prepare the menorah and move it out to bring it back in, but they don't have to light it. And we have the Minchas Chinuch who's shocked. How could the Rambam say they don't have to light it? He seems to be working with the assumption that in the Mikdash, hanacha osa mitzvah. And Reb Chaim, in his Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, Perek Tes, absolutely confirms this assumption. Reb Chaim writes the following. Writes Reb Chaim, it's clear that in the opinion of the Rambam, to suberlay the chol ikor hach milsa, the hadlokas hanelos, that he holds that this whole notion that you have to kindle the light, you have to light the neros, ein hamitzvah be'etzem maisa hahadlok. The mitzvah is not found in the actual Maisa HaHadlaka, ki im de ikar mitzvasa hu shiyiyu aneiros dolkim tami. The mitzvah is to ensure that the candles are lit. The mitzvah is not to light the menorah, right? We have this suffix in Ner Shabbos as well. There's a machlokas we shown between the Rambam and Rabbi Utah. Whether or not the chiyuv in Ner Shabbos is to light the Ner Shabbos, or whether or not the chiyuv is to ensure that they're lit. Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva where he says the question of whether or not you can make a bracha on electric lights is totally on this machlokas. Do you have to do a maisa hadlaka, which he wants to say that a light bulb is not, or do you only have to ensure that there is a ner dolok on Shabbos, in which case, perhaps assuming that the filament has the status of Aish, that would be considered. And there are others who disagree with his understanding of how the mechanism works. But the point is that Reb Chaya makes clear that when it comes to the nature of the mitzvah of Adlakas Neros in the Mikdash, the obligation is not to light these Neros. Lighting the Neros is simply the pragmatic action that is necessary in order to achieve what is the real desired result, which is by definition the obligation, which is to have the Neros lit. The menorah must be lit. I must walk into an illuminated Beis HaMikdash. I don't have to be the one to illuminate it myself. And says Reb Chaim, that explains this Rambam. Vozeh shehaneros dolkim hu dahavi yisod kiyum mitzvazu ve'alohu dekaomar gamkin haRambam dehadlokas haneros hi hatavosam. And that's what the Rambam writes elsewhere, not in Beis HaMikdash, that what is the action of hadlokas haneros? It's not the kindling, it's not the lighting, it's not the ignition, it's not the spark. It's the hatava. The hatava means what you have to do in order to ensure that it's lit. The cleaning, the preparation, the settling, that's what the Kohanim have to do. But the actual ignition, the actual lighting of the menorah itself, that is not mandated as part of the avodah. That's not the avodah. Says Reb Chaim, that's how he explained this Rambam. The Mekana Mitzvah Zu Da'atava, Masha Enkein, Etza Maisa Ha'ad Loka, Eina Shaykhala Igra Kiyam Mitzvah Zu. The actual action of lighting, says Reb Chaim, is not what this mitzvah is about. So when you put Reb Chaim and you put the Minchas Chinuch together in explaining this Rambam, you get a very different vision of what the mitzvah of Adlokas Neros is in the Mikdash. What's the mitzvah of Adlokas Neros in the Mikdash? The mitzvah is to ensure illumination, to secure an environment wherein there are Neros that are lit. So says the Rambam, if you want to walk, take the menorah outside and let some rich guy light the menorah and then bring it back in so that you can raise some money. Great, beautiful. You want to have a Yisrael do it, you want to have somebody else, or you want to have a lady, it's no problem. Because there's no independent obligation to go ahead and light the actual menorah. You don't have to take a candle and light it. So that's not the mitzvah of Lakas menorah in the Mishkan. The mitzvah of the Mikdash in the Mishkan is to ensure that these Neros are lit. Is the passive obligation of in securing illumination for the Mikdash. So what essentially we're dealing with here is a conclusion that when it comes to the Mishkan and the Mikdash in the Chanami, Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. So now we understand. There is a mitzvah of Hadlokas Neros in the Mishkan. There is. What's not part of the Avodah? The Hadlokah itself. That's not part of the Avodah. We can temper that down. That's not part of the Avodah. But what is the Avodah? The Avodah is Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. So Behaloscha Osa Neros, maybe the passive language even makes more sense now. Bahaloscha, when they ensure that it's lit, when that Hanocha Osa Mitzvah comes to fruition, that's Aaron HaKohen's role. Bahaloscha Saneros. And that's why the Gemara Numa says that there's no din of Avodah here. That's why the kindling is kosher bizarre. But something must be done by the Kohen. What must be done by the Kohen? The Hanocha. In the Mikdash, Hanocha Osa Mitzvah. So that brings us to one final question. And that is, if the paradigm of the Mikdash and the Mishkan is Hanocha Osa Mitzvah, then I just have to ensure that there is illumination. And I don't have to actually light the candles myself. That I do not have to ignite that flame. If that's really, at the end of the day, what the mitzvah is in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, then why is it when we export this whole entity to the world of Hilchas Chanukah, for some reason, we assume the identity of what? Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, source number 11. Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah v'lo Hanocha. We ask in Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. So if the Mishkan, if the Mikdash is the paradigm, If the Mishkan and the Mikdash is where this all emanates from, we get together on Chanukah. We stand as a family around this menorah. We remember this miracle of this group of people who stood up against all odds, who faced tremendous darkness and tremendous challenge, and Rabim B'yad Me'atim and Tmeyim B'yad Tahorim, and they walk into a Mikdash that's dark, a Mikdash that is Tamei, a Mikdash that has totally been completely ransacked in terms of its identity, and they walk up to the menorah and they engage in the experience of Hadlakas HaMenorah. And we're reenacting that world. We're reenacting that experience. Why wouldn't we legislate that reenactment parallel to the original paradigm of what it was, which was Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah? Why do we paskin Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah when in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, where this is all coming from, we paskin Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah? That's the question. That's the question. So to deal with that question, I want to share with you a Meshech Chachma, a beautiful Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Baaloscha is dealing with our original question. But with this Meshech Chachma, we'll answer the fundamental question. Our original question was what? How is it that the Gemara says this is not an Avodah when the Torah clearly hands it to Aaron HaKohen? And when you throw in Rashi, Shalchok, Gedolah, Mishalayim, it's even in Bikrush. So says the Meshech Chachma, Daber al Aaron, Baaloscha es Haneros, Hinei B'yuma Amru Hadlok Alav Avodah. B'ksheira bizarre. In Yuma it says that Hadlaka is not even Avodah, it's Kosher bizarre, and we know the Rambam. B'hikshu b'tosis yishonim shari aron tziv. B'nirin mishum ditznan em mecharchem es aminora el b'nero shal ben arbayim. So he explains the following. She'aron haya otzav sh'nis chaneich ha-mishkon ha-yidei ha-nesim. Aaron was very depressed. Why? Because the Mishkan was being mischaneich. The Mishkan was being inaugurated, established, infused with its foundational kedusha and experience by the Nesim, and he was omitted from that experience. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shalcha gedol mishelahem, says the Meshech Chachman is the big chiddush, v'zeh lechanech ha-menorah b'pa'am harishon, tziva aharon lehalos u'lehadlik. This commandment of Baalos Chos Haneros, this is not a commandment l'dolos. The Pshat is like the Gemara in Yuma. Aaron is not exclusive to the menorah. But there was one day where Aaron was exclusive to the menorah. What was that day? That was the day of the Chanukah Samishka. Aaron was given the opportunity to be the first. That means that if any other Jew would have jumped at the opportunity to light that menorah first, that would have been possible, it would have been Chayiv Misa. That did not fall into the category of Lav Avodah. For this one moment in Jewish history, for this one moment in the Chanukah Samishkan, it goes exclusively to Aaron. About Lidoros, but for generations, what's the mitzvah of Neros in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash? Ksiv Yaroch also Aaron. His role is the Hanacha. His role is the arrangement. His role is ensuring that the environment is illuminated. Rak HaSoder V'Hatova Lo Hadlaka. The misadir, the fact that he's the one that puts all the different ingredients together, he cleans it out, he prepares it, but not the hadlaka. The hadlaka would become kosher lezar. The hadlaka is not part of the fundamental mitzvah. Says Reb Chaim, the hadlaka, it's a detail. It's a maisa ba'alma. The real kiyum ha-mitzvah here, the real maisa mitzvah is the hatava, is ensuring that it happens. But this one time in Jewish history, the hadlaka is the mitzvah. This one time, and that's why it satisfies Aaron. That's why it's Shalchah Gedolah Mishelahem. Because you know what, Aaron? Not only am I going to give you a role that transcends that of the Nesim, but I am going to qualitatively endow this one time in Jewish history of Hadlakas Haneros with a dimension of exclusivity to you that is unique to this moment that will not exist the rest of the history of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And that moment is special to you. That moment is unique to you. You're going to be the one to be mechanech the menorah. Even though you are not the one that will ultimately be the one to light the menorah every single day. Like Aya Lidoros, Halalo Noda She'asar Chikashar Tziva Yo Mosa V'Kiyim Kol Yimei a halakha. So says the Meshech Chachma that there is one exception. Yes, it's true. It's true that the Rambam says that hanocha osa mitzvah. It's true that the nature of mitzvah's Chanukah is that we just ensure that there is an environment of illumination. It's true the mitzvah of menorah in the world of Chanukah, in the mikdash, that we just hanocha osa mitzvah. But there's one exception. And that exception is the Chanukah Samishkan. So now I think we can answer our question. And that is, why does Chazal pattern Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah? Why, if we're patterning this entire Chag after the experience of the menorah in the Mikdash, so Paskin Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah like we do in the Mikdash, why is Chazal asserting Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah? And the reason is because the Nes of Chanukah, the recreation of the Nes of Chanukah, is not a recreation of the average day of the Menorah Samikdash. It's not a recreation, a re-experience of what it was like. We don't stand around with our family on the fourth, fifth, sixth night of Chanukah and say, well, this is what it was like in the Mikdash when they used to light the Menorah every day. They would stand there, lahadlik ner, shall, you know, Menorah Samikdash, discussion if there was a brach in the Mikdash. Right? That's not what we're doing. We're not re-experiencing Menorah in the Mikdash. If we were, we would paskin hanocha osa mitzvah. We're re-experiencing the first lighting of the menorah in the Mikdash. Because what the Hashmonaim did, they didn't walk into the Beis HaMikdash and say, let's light the menorah today. They walked into nothing. They walked into devastation. They walked into darkness. They walked into a Mikdash that wasn't a Mikdash. They walked into Bitimu. They walked into total tumah. And as Kohanim, right? And we know that this is controversial, that they're playing this role as Kohanim. As Kohanim, they stand up and they say, hold on. For this one time in Jewish history, this is not a moment of hanocha osa mitzvah. This is not about bringing forth the illumination of the Mikdash. This is not what the general mitzvah of menorah is in the Mikdash, which is you're in an environment of accentuated sanctity and your job is to manifest that sanctity through the illumination of the menorah. That's not what this is. This is a moment of total darkness. There's no Elohim in his bias. There's no God here. There are idols. There are foreign ideologies. There are infiltrations of all sorts of approaches and concepts and ideas that have totally uprooted our commitment to what it means to have a Mikdash Hashem. And we have to start again. And if we have to start again, you know what that is? That's a Balos moment. That's not a moment of just lighting the menorah. That's a Balos moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Shalchav Gidol Mishelahem, you're not the Nesiim. You're not a bunch of guys that came in here to just light the menorah because it hasn't been lit in a while. You are totally reinvigorating a world that has been completely devoid of kedusha and inspiration and initiative and sanctity. You are totally reinvigorating it with the neros of the menorah, which represents the aura of Torah. You are completely reconstituting what it means to have a mikdash. And that is what we're recreating. If that's what we're recreating, then we don't follow hanocha osa mitzvah. We follow hadlaka osa mitzvah. Because every time in Jewish history where we step up to an environment that entails darkness, that entails a void of what it means to have kedusha, and we're able to invigorate it and infuse it with passion, with enthusiasm, with realness, with a sense of commitment, with a sense of mesiras nefesh, with a sense of we can achieve the impossible, of rabim b'yad me'atim, of making great out of something small, which is what links the two miracles of Chanukah. Those are Bahalos moments. Those are moments that are hadlaka moments. Those are not hanocha moments. The menorah that exists in the Mikdash is a menorah that should exist in our lives every single day. The hanocha osa mitzvah should exist every single day. We should exist, and nothing to do with Chanukah. We should wake up in the morning, and we should say to ourselves, we exist in a yeshiva, we exist in a framework of a frum life, we exist in an atmosphere that is saturated with kedusha. How are we going to be Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah? How are we going to radiate that Kedusha? How are we going to illuminate that Kedusha? How are we going to manifest that Kedusha? How are we going to make it come alive? That's a challenge every single day. That's not the Hanukkah challenge. The Hanukkah challenge is halacha. The Hanukkah challenge is chinuch, is the notion that we take a Mishkan that doesn't exist and we bring it from nowhere to somewhere. We take a Mikdash that's been completely annihilated and we reinvigorate it. Hanukkah is the ability to see something new in a place where you've seen it all the whole time, and that's why it's so connected to the bias, it's so connected to the home. Because every once in a while you walk into the home and you say, you don't just look to bring forth what's there. You identify where is the darkness in the home. Where is the darkness in the family? Where is there not a hanocha osa mitzvah? There aren't candles that are lit that can just be placed where they need to be placed. But there is darkness, there is void, there's tumma. Where do things need to be reinvigorated? Where do things need to be re-excited? Where do things need to be energized? Where do we need bahalosa? Where do we need Shalcha Gedolu Yishalahem? That's what the Ramban says on that pasuk. When the Ramban rejects Rashi's Peshat, he says, what are you talking about, the menorah? Oh, look at all the things that the Kohen Gadol would do, that the Kohanim would do, Karbonos and Ketores. This is about Chanukah. The Ramban's right, this is about Chanukah. Because Chanukah was a second Baaloscha moment. It's not that all the Hablokas Neros were Baaloscha Hablokas Neros. They weren't. There were two. There was the original Baal Oscha when we lit that first menorah, and there's the Baal Oscha of the Chashmonai. And then there is the Baal Oscha that we try to internalize each and every single day. When we stand before our menorah, we're not Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah. It's not enough to just bring forth what we have. We have to innovate. We have to energize. We have to motivate ourselves. We have to inspire ourselves. We have to reach for Tzmeim B'yad Tahorim. For Rabin B'yad Me'atim. We have to look at goals and ambitions and aspirations that are totally overwhelming, whose odds completely overwhelm us, and say to ourselves, Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem, that we can do this. We can bring light and illumination where there's challenge and difficulty. And to see within ourselves capacity for Limala Minateva. That's what Chanukah is all about. To tap into the recesses of our spiritual energy and find things that are not natural, that are supernatural. And capacities that we didn't know we had. And abilities that we didn't know were there. That's what the menorah is about. That's why it's Hadlaka Osim. And that's why at the end of the day, when we stand before the menorah, even though it's the menorah of the Mikdash, it's really the menorah of Baal Osim. And that's really what we're trying to achieve throughout Hanukkah. Wish you all a Hanukkah Sameach. It's a pleasure to learn together. We'll have a wonderful.
Well, I just want to thank Rabbi Glasser for coming tonight. There's going to be Marv right now. It's 10 o'clock in a few minutes, actually, in the base measures, followed by a divot Torah and a kumzitz in the Heights Lounge right after Marv. So thank you very much, Rabbi Glasser, for coming. And